Where we have to reach, that this reality comes into us, that only it's only there for me. Mera koi nahi aa tere siwa. There is nobody for me, O Allah, besides you. Eh Khuda, eh Khuda, eh Khuda, eh Khuda, O Allah. Khuda is a Persian word which means Ashkud, who is of his self. Allah was not Qul huwa Allahu Ahad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Allah was not born of anyone, and nobody is born from Allah Ta'ala, who is of his own. And not only of his own, but who has created the entire creation alone, and who looks and sees to all the needs of the entire creation also on his own. Zindagi meri hai tera dhikro liqa. My life is not just a living, like a person says, my life is eating something. My life is sports. My life is business. So my life, Hazrat says, it is tera dhikr or liqa. Yeah, by dhikr, and then also not only dhikr, but by the dhikr, we reach Allah. Dhikr, dhakir ko maskoor tak pahuncha deta hai. That is the reality of zikr. That is not just a formality or just passing time, but that we are connected with Allah. That is the true zikr. Not that we are making zikr and we are listening to some other program also, our mind is there also. We are making zikr and in between we are talking also. And just as a formality, I have to finish my 100, so I am just sitting to finish it. No, the zikr connects us with Allah. Aur meri maut hai tujhse wo main juda, and this is my death, that I am separated from you. Like every person, what he likes the most, when he does not get there, he says, like, I am dead without you. Then what is the real asali? That without Allah, if he hasn't got Allah, then it is like he's dead. And that is when he is in the disobedience of Allah is out of the question. But that is not in the thoughts of Allah, he's not connected with Allah. He feels that he is going to die. Like if a person doesn't get air to breathe in and is suffocating, how he's dying. Like that, the air for a real true salih is the remembrance of Allah. If he doesn't get the remembrance of Allah, he's like dying. And from that we can see most of us what our lives are. We are hardly ever, even in namaz, we're not in the thoughts of Allah. Even in our tilawat, even in our zikr, we are not in the thoughts of Allah. So we are like just dead people. Maybe we are just being kept alive, just like puppets. And with such people, nothing happens. A person who has got life in him, for him, things happen in this world. Tere bin kyun andhera andhera hua. Without you, Allah, why is it suddenly everything is just dark? Like, we have got electricity, power, now there is a power failure. Everything is gone dark. So without the remembrance of Allah, a true person who has got contact with Allah, forget ever he falls into a sin, that is very big. But just when he's not in the thoughts of Allah, he just feels darkness, he feels uneasiness, he feels he's going down all the time, he's slipping all the time. That is, if a person, they've got power. A person who doesn't have power and has a power failure, he doesn't even know there's a power failure. It means nothing to him. But a person who had power and now there's a power failure, he realizes it and he becomes very uneasy. So a person who had contact with Allah and then some ghaflat came, if he was not making Allah zikr for whatever reason and he was unmindful of Allah, suddenly he feels darkness. Everywhere there is darkness, there is a power failure. Meri dunya ka shams o khamar kya hua? What happened to my powerhouse? The sun and moon, from where I get my power. What happened to my powerhouse? And of course, not the sun and moon, but the zikr of Allah. Remembrance of Allah. What has happened that I have lost contact with Allah Ta'ala? Behre tofaan kam hai mukhalif hawa. And the sea is in turmoil, there is a tsunami in the sea. They have a tufan from here. And I mean, to such a sorrow and depression, and the wind is blowing all against me. When a person becomes unmindful of the true sadi, this is what he feels at that time. Committing sin is a very big thing, but just being not a mustis zikr, mustis tilawat, etc., then he starts feeling very, very uneasy. And he sees that the winds are blowing against him from all sides. and his life is going down. Har saza se bari ho gaya na saza. And when a person makes tawbah, then Allah restores everything. So there's nothing that is lost also. Allah is so merciful that we lost everything, but Allah kept the doors of his mercy wide open. Just make tawbah and again everything. And when a person feels like that, very, very effective is to read, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. The actual words are, which many people find a bit difficult to read, so just read the side of the Quran, it's sufficient. Otherwise, Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyu, Ya La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. To read that, and with Durood Sharif, a person comes out of that condition of this. Where his power is restored again. He was slipping, now he's got control again. Everything is coming right again. Just easily, we don't know the ayat also, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin, tawbah istighfar. And this is from the clear-cut ayat of the Quran Sharif. Istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh. Make istighfar and tawbah. يرسل السماء عليكم إدرارا ويمددكم بأموال وبنين ويجعل لكم جنات وأنهارا ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Allah will give you all this knowledge. Why don't you reverse and go back to Allah? You are leaving everything behind. You left all your goods behind. You are going away. Then pick up your goods. Reverse, make yoga again. Come back on the right way of life. And guaranteed every success is in me. And it is to bring deen in our life. Not the name of deen, not even the effort of deen, that is also necessary, not the knowledge of deen, but to bring deen in our life. And deen are the actual actions of deen. And life in those actions. And that is the department of suluk and tasawuf. That not only you have the knowledge of namaz, like all of us sitting here, the basic masalas of namaz, we all know how to make wuzu, what breaks wuzu, how to make namaz, basic masalas. The full details might everyone not know, but basically we all know. But that means it's not sufficient. The next is to make namaz. If we know the masalas, we know how to make wuzu, how many of us we correct other people, but we're not even making namaz. We have the audacity to tell other people you should do it like this, do it like that. But we ourselves not making namaz. And then making namaz also is not sufficient. There must be light in that namaz. There must be current in that namaz. Connection with Allah. That is where we have to reach. That we have to reach to Allah. By all this amal, our connection must be made with Allah. Like an electrician who has studied and he's got his certificate. He's a qualified electrician. But just having that knowledge, neither is he going to be living, earning something, and neither will lights come everywhere. The knowledge is gone, but now he'll have to work. Put all the piping, the wiring, the fittings, he'll have to do all that. But having done that also, still his lights, the work is not complete. Current must come. When the current will come, now the AC will work, the fan will work, the watch will work, the stove will work, the current also. So knowledge is also necessary, then the actual amal also, and then life in the amal. This is where we have to reach. And when that becomes, then inshallah everything will get done. So by making, when these conditions come, a person should make tawbah and istighfar. And by making tawbah and istighfar, Allah restores the power. And with how much sincerity a person makes tawbah and istighfar, with so much Allah Ta'ala, so quickly Allah restores the power, and very good and strong power also Allah Ta'ala restores it. Tere dariya rahmat ka hai asra, O Allah, my only hope, we are the seas of your mercy. There is no other hope, but you are so merciful, O Allah. So my hope is only in you, in your great, great mercies. Warna akhtar hai aamal se de nawa. And this is actually for us. Hadrat, mashallah, what is Hadrat's position? Hadrat say, otherwise, we are such that we haven't got amal also. And our ilm also is so weak. And then our amal are also so weak. And then in our amal, there is no life also. Like dead amal we have got. So this is what the object of suluk also is, to reach his destination of being connected with Allah Ta'ala. Each of us in this form is it. That is the thing that we reach and find Allah Ta'ala. And once a person gets this, then his whole life on Allah Akbar Allah. Even he's eating, then he sees the food is from Allah, he sees it clear. He thanks his wife for preparing it. Whoever bought it, brought it, whatever, he thanked them, but he knows besides Allah, nobody else. When he wears his clothes, he knows it is from Allah. When he goes to sleep, the bed and the comfort is only, he sees Allah everywhere. When he wakes up again, he's only making shukr to Allah. His whole life. Then such a person, where does it his namaz take? But we are such that our namaz also we not connected with Allah. And in all these other things, where will we be connected with Allah Ta'ala? So this is what we have to work for. And this is why majalis, this is why zikr takes place. In one place on the sabah, there was a program for the ulama. MashaAllah, a good number of ulama had turned out. And the program was kept on the first floor upstairs of the masjid. When we got there, then all the ulama asked them, when we climb stairs, then what should we be reading? Everyone know now, so everyone may know what it is. Allahu Akbar as you go up, Subhanallah when you come down. Then I asked them, who read? So they all admitted, nobody read. And now we also, we did climb a few stairs, we didn't go up, but who of us read Allahu Akbar? So I said, this is all what the tasawwuf is. That what we know to practice. Ma'lumat ko ma'lumat. Maulana Thani rahmatullah alayhi said, there isn't a single ayat of the Quran Sharif, a single hadith in which there is not the soul. But he said, we don't understand what is the soul. We have made something else out of the soul. The soul is only this, make amal. So every ayat we have to make amal. Every hadith we have to make amal. How much you are making amal? And of course, nobody can be perfect and do the whole Quran Sharif and all the hadith. But how much we do, so far we have done. The tasawwuf is not a subject to study like in theory. Many people get books and study on the tasawwuf and they know fine points and details. The tasawwuf is not that. The tasawwuf is not to give lectures upon. And that a person thinks that because I'm giving heavy lectures on the tasawwuf that I'm full in the tasawwuf. The tasawwuf is how much we are practicing on Quran and hadith, straightforward. That is what our Alam bin Hajj Rasul on the tariqah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no matter how much we make shukr that Allah joined us with our akabir, our ulama, our asatiza, our mashayikh, particularly Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akbar sallallahu Allah had put into our lives. And Hazrat had benefited from Shah Maulana Abrar al-Haqsa, Maulana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi. And that is the source where we have got this pure and correct tasawwuf. Otherwise, we should also have been involved in many other things, and we should also think we are deep in tasawwuf. In one place we went to, they said there's one program where there's some khanqa program carrying on. And we should also go and attend there. So, and ulama there, so we went there. But when we met, then first of all, porters, immediately all porters did you in and all that. Managed to stop that somehow. Then when we sat, then it was all in our honor, in entertainment. Then he said, reading Naat Sharif, praises of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Guru Sharif, and then more louder than that is the drum. They're beating the drum all the time. Somehow we managed to stop that. We excused, we said that we got other appointments, we have to go, then they understood. They stopped it. The woman behind the parda opened the parda and dressed also in a peculiar, in a different way the woman was dressed. Somehow we managed to get the curtains drawn again. Then we asked again to be excused, and they said, no, sambayan, and alhamdulillah, let you stop it on all these wrongs we made there. And there was a big chef from Syria who had come also. And after that, he's been able to, so this is what they regard as the soul. All which is way out since. And videoing, filming, and Allah. But if you see them on their faces, how emotional they are. It is 100% sincere, emotional.
how Shaitan is desiring us.
And so we also must think that how much aren't we also being fooled, that I'm thinking I'm in the soul. I'm thinking I got push venmi, which is called, to be in a dream world. That I also think just because I'm making zikr a few days, or some people praising me or something, that I'm also now got connection. Like those people, if you see them, once in Cape Town, they took us to Palsmore prison. And they had a milad there. And for about 3-4 hours, and really how the prisoners, and why they in jail. So they did all wrong things. But if you see them, their faces, the emotion, we feel we are not even, we are minus, not even zero. You see their feelings, how they got. But all wrong things they are doing. And we don't know, we might be thinking, I'm doing right things. My intention, is it right? What is it? So we also must not just think and just pass, make criticisms on other people. When you see this, immediately reflect on yourself. That is a person who will benefit a lot. Whenever he sees anything like that, you know, according to Shariat, what knowledge we have got, with the light of our elders and results what they have taught us, we understand it's wrong. But at the same time, we may be also in, and definitely there are people higher than us who see our faults, which we cannot see. So we should always be conscious of our own condition. ناخون کاٹنا سنت نبوی بھی علاج بھی The pairing of nails, cutting of nails is a sunnat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, and it is a great cure also at the same time. حضور اکرم صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کا معمول بعض روایت کے مطابق جمعے کے دن اور بعض روایت کے جمعرات کے دن ناخون آئے مبارک کرشوانے کا تھا. The pairing of nails, according to some narrations, it was the practice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Friday and on some on Thursday. So the pairing, cutting of nails should be done regularly. And any person, fortunate is that person to whom sunnah has become nature. And the minute the nails have not been cut for any reason, like the first 10 days of Zulhijjah, when a person is in ihram, or a person is on safar and for some reason he could not, he feels it immediately. Right? That my nails are too long now. And some people, how long nails, especially children, we tell them, we show them, they say, no, it's not long. But they are so long nails, but they say it's not long. They say, I just cut it now, just before I came and cut it. But what have they got? So a person whose mizaj comes according to sunnah, he must make a lot of shukr. Once when there was that problem in 79, I think in the Haram of Makkah, when those people came in, and they said it's Imam Mahdi, etc. So they had made a lot of, just wild arrest also. They took Maulana Zaid Khan Sir Rahmatullah Ali also in custody for questioning. That is what intelligence does. They met as many people in trying to get information. Who is behind us, what happened, etc. So Maulana was kept away in custody by the police for some time. Then they brought him home just for an hour or so. In that 1 hour, the first thing he did was cut his nails from his mustache. Just couldn't stick it. You just can't. Forget staying in Napa. How many people stay in Napa? And those who stay for wudu, they went without wudu, they feel uneasy. And this year that your mustache has been overgrown the wudu. The nails out, you just can't, your pubic hair, you just can't take it. Fortunately, that person whose nature Allah has made. Then also, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to cut his nails on a Friday. And more better is on a Thursday. So that Friday's time is more for direct ibadat. So it's also ibadat, but this is an indirect ibadat. So finish everything with cleaning up all your hair, your nails, everything. Then 5-10 minutes is enough for a shower. So Friday, then your time goes more into more ibadah. Otherwise, if you do all this on Friday, and your most of your time is going in all this, which is also ibadah. But better to do this on the Thursday, and Friday you leave for free for Allah Ta'ala's ibadah. Aap sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam pantarve din nahun kaatte che. And some rewires also come that every fortnight Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam So sometimes, some occasions, supper, etc., then it goes to a prophet. Medical ke usool aur kanoon ke mutabik, that was sunnah. Now the cure of it is mentioned, that according to principles of medicine, pet ke keero ke ande insani naakhoon mein pooshida hote hain. The germs which cause harm to the stomach, they hide under the nails of a human being. Aur insaan jab khana khata hai, and when we eat this food, to ye ande khane mein shamil hokar pet mein chale jaate hain. Then these germs, they join with the food and they go into the stomach, and then a person has a lot of problems. And where the stomach is that computer that takes out the vitamins for the eyes and sends it to the eyes, takes out the vitamins for the brains and sends it to the brains, vitamins for the heart and sends it there. We say, for example, pomegranate is very good for the heart. But when you don't put pomegranate in your heart, it goes to the stomach. Stomach sends it there. Badam, very good for the brains. You can take badams and push them up to your head. The stomach will send it there. So therefore also, and that is the work the stomach has to do. But according to Hakims, when a person is eating and he drinks especially cold things, cold water, and even worse, an American doctor, his research is that the gas in cold drinks, that gas doesn't shut your stomach, the computer switches it off, deep freezes. Like if you have got a hot engine that is working and you went for cold water, you destroy that whole engine. It will burst. So the stomach, and that is the reason that when we see food, when we talk about food, we smell food, immediately water comes in the mouth. We normally take, because we like food, we just sit for the food. So that's why the water. But this is Allah's system to digest the food, that saliva is required. Like when you start many work, now your oiling has to be there, you have to oil. If you don't oil, that good, that product won't come out right, you'll destroy your machine also. Your oiling has to be done properly all the time. So this is the oiling for the food to get digested. You digest that food, the saliva is absolutely essential. And we feel only the mouth getting ready, but the whole stomach gets ready. The food, five, the intestines, the whole thing gets ready. Just like when we're going to take delivery. If tomorrow morning anyone has to take delivery of some huge consignment, naturally you make arrangement of it properly, you clean the whole place, your warehouse, wherever the delivery is going to be made. So when delivery of food is going to now come, so the whole system gets ready for it. And when we drink this whole thing, we are shutting it off, switching it off. And with the gas in cold drinks, we are actually now deep freezing the whole system. Now all what happens is that food goes in the stomach, fills the stomach, you feel nice, you have eaten, but it goes to the toilet. The machine, the computer, you switched it off. They get to take all the vitamins that they to send, the benefits to the brain, to the tissues, to the muscles, to the hair, to the nails, all that you have cancer. So therefore, it is very necessary that a person eats in the correct way. And for that, before eating, to wash hands, which is also sunnah, and the best antiseptic is water. So you kill those germs which are under the nails. Because even if you cut your pair your nails every Friday, nobody is going to file his nails every minute, every hour. It starts growing little, little. Even it's very small, but it is growing. Then all the germs which are under. So if you don't wash your hands, and therefore also we can understand that it is unfair to our Uzzur, how they explained our deen. Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrar al-Haqsa, rahmatullah alayhi, explained that when you are eating just like dry things, like tea and biscuits for example, not that curry, that way your hands get involved in the food, just like that, then it's not necessary to wash your hands. You may wash it if you wish to, but the actual sunnah is when you are going to eat something like curry, rice, etc., curry, etc., that is when the nails get involved also. If it's just a biscuit or something, just with some juice or with some tea, then the nails don't get involved there. The germs won't go through. So we should wash our hands. And that keeps away poverty also in the hadith. If a person who washes his hands before and after meals, poverty won't come to that person. So anyway, and also from this we can understand
the food is predominantly prepared by women.
At home also, there are cases, some cases where the man prepares, but predominantly the woman.
And as a commercially prepared food, in the restaurants, etc., also it's mostly women.
There are men also who work in this.
And women have more the tendency to keep long meals. And especially if it is non-Muslims from the food outlets, that is another very great harm in this. And where will they wash their hands? And what, how many, all there are hygienic rules for them. They have to wash their hands when they come out of the toilet, etc. But rules are made to be broken. And who really follows all those rules? And when we are eating that food which was prepared like that, when you eat also, your nails must be small. And those who prepare also, if their nails also are big and there are germs, that germs are gone into the food already. Now you wash your hands and eat. But the germs are already in there from before. So it's very, very important that this aspect, and our own women folk at home, if they also keep long nails, which also unfortunately copying the West and the stupid ways, and this long, long nails with the cutex, etc., and all that. And then they are kneading the dough for the rotis, etc. They are cooking all the other food with these long nails. It's only open destruction that we are inviting to ourselves. So, the sunnah, Allahu Akbar, how beautiful. For women also it is the sunnah, for men also. Then cut our nails, keep them as short as possible. Be regularly washing the hands, and with plain water, wash the hands regularly before meals, after meals, etc. When you eat, and this, if you don't, if your nails are long, and you did not even wash them, then all these germs go away. And from the stomach, where the stomach sends the vitamins to the various parts of the body. And when you are sending germs with the food, so now diseases go to the various parts of the body. Now you might have an eye problem, and you treat the eye, but the problem came from the stomach. One person went to the hakim, and he told him that my stomach is sore. Why? What happened? I ate 10 raw rotis. We were not made. Raw rotis. So he put eye ointment, gave him eye ointment for his eye. So he said, my stomach is sore, not my eye. He said, I have to treat your eyes first. You couldn't see 10 raw rotis. First I have to treat your eyes, then you treat your stomach after that. So this in the same way, when we're sending germs to the stomach, now the eye has become sick, we're treating the eye, but the problem is from treating the stomach, where the problem has started. Now you're getting sores on your body. Now you are having this problem. All start the stomach, where it sends vitamins and strength to the whole body. If we do it the wrong way, that very same stomach sends all diseases to all the parts of the body also. So eating habits are very, very important. And that is also what we have to learn from research. Not only our namaz and our tilawat and our zikr, but how to eat also. And Allah reward our buzurgs, they have taught us everything. They haven't kept anything away. It's up to us. If we don't take notice of it, we don't learn it, that's our problem. But they have taught us. And if we don't implement it, many of us, we make a joke about it that we are not going to drink cold drink. How can we? It's impossible that we don't have cold drinks. We make a joke about it. And it is at our peril. We think we can laugh it off, we can make a joke about it, but it is at our own destruction. How many of us, we even keep good company, but our habits, we never change our habits. What habits we got, we will just carry on with our habits. We don't learn the right habits also, we don't implement them also. So this is also a very important. Then in the next long paragraph, he explains a certain medical treatment where a person, when he has to take certain tablets, he's not allowed to touch it with his hand also. With some paper or spoon, he must put the tablet in his bed sheet, he must change. It must be washed, it must be hung in the sun. So the germs are killed by the sun. That's also very important. And dry clean clothes are very unhealthy also, just everything is done in the machine. They are not hung out in the sun. The sun, the rays of the sun that falls on the clothes is also very important to keep the germs which are in the clothes, etc. And which is, or even if we Sometimes if it happens, unfortunately, weather conditions, and in the temple dryer you dry your clothes, but you make a habit out of it. All the time, you just wash in the washing machine, temple dryer you dry, you don't hang it out outside. That is also very unhealthy. Clothes should be hung up, and the sun rays should fall on their clothes. That's also very important. So all that in detail is free. Otherwise, he says, that you, what your medicine, your germs. Also another very important thing, when you use some balm, any ointment. What you do, for example, you've got a sore, you take the ointment, you put it on your sore. Now the germs which were there, you have your fingers. Now you've been wetting onto the ointment. You are transferring all the germs there. So therefore that also must be done in such a way, use a, what do you call it, a spatula or what?
Spatula.
Stick.
Spatula.
Whatever that is. Use something like that. And use something different. So that you are not transferring germs all the time. From the one to the other, you are just transferring germs. So that is also very important to remember. So that he explains. Then he says, تحقیق کے مطابق جو خواتین ناخن پر آتی ہے according to research, those women who keep long nails, وہ خون کی کمی کا شکار ہو جاتی ہے. They are the ones who suffer from what you call it, when you have less blood in your body, anemia, they become anemia. Those who increase, who keep long nails. ایسے خواتین نفسیات یا مرض کا زیادہ شکار ہو. And such women will have more psychological problems. And almost all women have got psychological problems. And they increase it with this. And worse than that, which is also a scientifically proven, when they use the bright, bright colors of Q-tex. The bright colors, the bullfight, they show it the red color and it goes mad. So the woman also, they put this bright red. So all the time it goes, it makes them go mad all the time. They just, for any small thing, it's long nails. Woman by nature is like that. And then she keeps her long nails, and then again with the cutex on it. So, what has the Shaykh al-Hadith, Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, said, when people start regarding poison as their medicine, now what your hope is there for their people? Today, all the poison is regarded as medicine. Now, how can you expect some cure? We are so blind, and we have been made so blind, that unfortunately, this blindness just does not go. We just carry on with it. حتیٰ کہ ایک ماہر نفسیات کے بقول ناخون بڑھانا اتنا خطرناک ہے کہ انسان کو اتنا نفسیاتی مریض بنا دیتا ہے کہ انسان خود کشی کی طرف مائل ہو جاتا ہے. One expert of psychology said, this is making the wrong nails, and some women, even unfortunately Muslim women, but especially non-Muslim women, especially offers who work in off long nails, and how they look at how much money they spend on their nails, and how they particularly mustn't just chip or throw or something, but such long nails, and this causes such psychological problems, mental problems, that a person will even think of committing suicide. It is from this year. So Islam has taught us such a beautiful, and if we can realize the sunnah what Allah has kept from. And if we follow the sunnah with the niyat of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the command of Allah, then much more than what this is, we will get benefit. But unfortunately, these things don't make sense to us. And we just prefer the stupid and the filthy ways of the non-believers. May Allah give us proper understanding each day. We were with regard to the condition of woman, that she's been made from the crooked or the pen, the rub. And so that is a fact. And when she had, which Allah has informed us through Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when you have got a product like that, like also today, most of the things are made of plastic, etc. So you have to treat it as a plastic product. If you want to treat it as a steel product, then you will destroy the product. A thing which is flimsy and weak, and they warn you before that, that handle with care. And it's very interesting, very delicate. Now, if you don't handle it like that, then what is going to happen? So we are warned from before, women handle with care. Eh, that they are made like that, that they have got by nature. They are with the best rub, so all their nature is like that. So don't expect, if you buy a plastic glass and you treat it like a steel glass, glass made of glass, and you treat it like a steel glass and you throw it on the ground, it has to break down. So Allah has made woman like that, and now treat her and handle her and use her what she has been made. She is bent, she is crooked, that is a fact now. And you can also have been warned, don't try and straighten her. Benefit from her as she is, then you will get that benefit. Otherwise, if you want to go and straighten her, you will break her, and that is talaq. So use her as she is. Now the directive is for us, that as a man, that the woman has got her weaknesses, she has got her shortcomings. Accept her with her shortcomings and use her according to her shortcomings. Don't try and correct her and all that. Then in the previous, I don't explain. That as far as dini matters are concerned, then ask the ulama. Like how I should, my wife is not making namaz. That also don't use a very hard-handed way. Find out how we should correct her, etc. That is, but use her as how the product is made, it is made with weaknesses in it. So use it according to that. Then you will get benefit. And if you want to become a perfectionist, an idealistic person, and you want to treat that plastic like steel, you going to harm yourself. You won't get the benefit. Babu Mudarat Ba'anisa Tisharah. In Bukhari Sharif it comes, how to treat women correctly. As Fathul Bari, in Fathul Bari this is written, قَوْلُهُ بَابُ الْمُدَارَاتِ هُوَ بِغَيْرِ حَمْسِ بِمَعْنَى الْمُجَامِلَةِ وَالْمُلَاجِنَةِ وَأَمَّا بِالْحَمْسِ فَمَعْنَاهُ الْمُدَافِعَ وَلَيْسَ مُرَادًا هُنَا. Which means, Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, a very great scholar, right? That مُدَارَات, مُدَارَات means how to treat your family properly, kindly, nice. Here also, there are two very important points. One is zabta ka ta'alluq by roots, and one is rabta ka ta'alluq, that is mudara, that is by kindness. Like for example, you met your friend, he didn't make you salam, you can't take him to court for that. And when you go to the police station and make a case, he didn't make you salam. But if he gave you a slap, then you can go to the police station. So this is mudara, that what you cannot, but there aren't laws coming. It is your understanding. It is what is between you. So there are many things between husband and wife, many, many things which are mudara. And other than that, zabta, there are principles also. For example, major things she must cook for, that she cooks in the house, you must earn, and you must bring, etc. All those things, she looks after the house, you look after the outside life. But in the house, like for example, if she doesn't smile with you, she doesn't reply your salam, so you can't go and take that to court. Or you can't go and tell somebody, go and explain to her. So those things, so mudara. So Hafiz ibn Hajar rahmatullah alayhi sallam, mudara, mafhum ahliya ke saath, suluk mein jamal aur husn akhlaq aur narmi karna. That what is this with the wife? That ahliya ke saath suluk, nice treatment. Or jamal, beauty in that treatment. Or husn akhlaq and good character. And this all means that there are three levels. One is she is good to you, you are good to her. One is she is bad to you, you are bad to her. And the one is she is good to you and you are bad to her. So of course, if she is good to you or you good to her and she is bad, that is how that is zulm. And insaf and adab, justice, she is good to you, you good to her. But akhlaq means when she is bad to you, you are good. This is what is required. And when she tells you something about your mother, about your father, your family, don't you also tell her. In fact, tell her your mother is very weak. And when she tells you your mother is a witch, tell her your mother is a fairy. So always, when she tells you bad things, you tell her good. That is mudara. That is the trick. And this is not just for talking and yet, but this is what we, if a person wants a good, happy life, implement this. Hey, when she tells you, you're lazy, you don't put your clothes right, you don't do this, you don't do that, you tell her, but I appreciate how much you do for me.
Right? And don't be sarcastic also, in a nice way. You be good to her, then see, you definitely will get Jesus. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that they are crooked. He taught us how to treat and get the maximum benefit out of this. اور یہ مفہوم مدارات بدون حمز کے ہے، ورنہ حمز کے ساتھ مفہوم مدافعات ہے جو یہاں مراد ہیں. And what this حمز which is written here, that is defending yourself. So that is not meant here, that you have to defend yourself. Here it is meant kind treatment, generosity, overlooking of faults, etc. Otherwise, you can never ever equal the woman with the tongue. She will put you quickly on your plate, so to speak. One husband and wife had an argument. They were driving, going on a casual little drive, and they had an argument. Now both were talking, so they passed a farm where there were all types of animals, horses, donkeys, rabbits, all types of animals. So to break the ice, the husband told her, all these are your family. So she said, yes, they are my family, my in-laws. So you can't with the tongue, you can't. So you be kind to her, you be good to her. And as I said, not sarcastically also, but genuinely. And see the good. Also, there is another very sad thing, that there are certainly, one person went to Markaz Nizamuddin many, many years ago, and he didn't go there for Islam, he didn't go there to benefit. He went there as a tourist. And if a tourist goes to Markaz, what he's going to see? He saw all the other things which he shouldn't be seeing, and what he had to see, he didn't see. And so he was very upset that the whole world's people, tourists come from the world, he's looking at his life. Nobody, the people who go to Nizamuddin, don't go as tourists there and expect five-star hotel treatment and all that. But if you go with that frame of mind, then what are you going to get? You're going to be very negative. So he went to Bhopal and he explained to one great Buzur that Markaz is like this and Markaz is like that. He was a great wali of Allah. He pondered for a minute or two, and then he told him, if a pig goes in a beautiful garden, he doesn't see any good in that garden. It only finds fault in that garden. And then also, not only that it finds the fault, it can be hidden somewhere in a corner. The pig will take it out and spread it everywhere. That if you see something wrong somewhere, the Muslim's quality is he covers the fault of the Muslim. But these people are such, we take it and we spread it everywhere. So there's a quality of a pig that isn't a good quality, just to be finding fault all the time. So to find, and to find fault with your wife all the time. But that, what, how, the days when first place charity starts at home, the first person in your life you have to treat well is your wife. And don't wait till she treats you well. There is also catching the cat by the tail. Catch it by the neck and you got it. You just carry on. And then she has to melt. And she will become your slave. And if she is wise, she treats you well. No matter how you treat her, she will make you her slave. And the person who does wrong, and in his weak audacity and his talking high like this and swearing, but when he realizes it, he becomes a mouse. And the day will come, and it will come if you have the correct attitude. She will become like a mouse in front of you. And if she was right and she handled you correct, she will make you a mouse in front of you. So that is very, very important, that we shouldn't be such that we are all the time just looking for fault. That is not a good quality at all. And ek riwayat Imam Muslim ki tahreer se bayan farmate hain. And one narration, innal mar'a khuliqat min dhira'in لَنْفِسْ تَقِيمْ لَكَ عَلَىٰ طَرِيقَةِ That عورت تیری بستی سے پیدا کی. She has been created from the crooked, or use the word bent. ہرگز تم اپنا منشا اور مرضی کے مطابق کسی طرح سے بھی سیدھی نہیں کر. You can never make a perfect how you want to. Leave her as he is and take the maximum benefit from there. What it is, how she is. ایک دوسری روایت میں ہے خلقت المرأة من طلعٍ فَإِن تَقِمْهَا تَقْسُرْهَا فَدَارَهَا تَعِشْ بِهَا That عورت تیری پسلی سے پیدا کی. She has been made from the bent rub. So she will be there. She will have all those things. Because اگر تم سیدھی کرو گے, if you want to straighten her, which our Shaykh جزاهم الله خير used to say, that a person who feels that I need everything straight in my life.
Well,
everything must be in order, idealistic, perfectionist. But even such a person doesn't go to the doctor, admit himself in hospital and telling my ribs are crooked. And I don't like crooked things in my life. At least straighten my ribs. Your whole life you live with your crooked ribs. And they are meant to be crooked. Like for example, if there is a bend in the road and you say I like straight things and you just want to go straight, follow the bend and then you will reach your destination safely. But you want to be perfect and straight and you want to take your geometrical all things and make a 90 degree angle and I'm going 90 degrees and like that, you'll destroy yourself. Follow the road, follow the rules. So your wife is bent, she's like that, you follow. And when the road is very bent, broken, and lot of curves in the road, then you also drive carefully. Then slow down and drive carefully. Don't you try and go directly on to avoid one bend, and you just go over there directly. You destroy yourself. So exactly like that with the woman also. She is like that, accept her like that, and you go according to that. In that way, that's the only way. And this is the teachings of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Somebody has got better teachings, they can go to their better teachings. But there are no better teachings than Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And those who got this Aqeedah and who got this Iman and this Muhabbat and love, they will follow this. And they will benefit fully in this world also, in the Akhirat also. Seedhi karo ye, door do ye. Bas mudarat karo, madarat karo. Be kind, have treatment, generosity, overlooking of faults. Yani khushne suluk karo. Aur zindagi isi tarah guzar. But good treatment and pass your whole life like this. This is how you will get the maximum benefit. May Allah Ta'ala give us topic to understand this and practice accordingly also inshallah. We will read in all different wazifas. And another wazifa which has written here, also very great. One of them is enough for us. But if we read it and we don't depend on the words are only bridges to join us to the other side. Don't stay on the bridge. Don't stay just on the words. Many people pay so much attention to the words that have to be read. But the word is the means to connect us to Allah Ta'ala. Like I say, bring water. Now you smile that you are hurting. You say, bring water. But you're not bringing the water. You're just smiling all the time. Or there's a fire. And you tell, save yourself from the fire. And you're smiling and you're going straight into the fire. Okay, so that is just the words that we are happy with, and what is meant by the words, that we don't do. So the words are to connect us with Allah Ta'ala. Su'e qada or jahdul bala se hifazat ki dua. Su'e qada, qada means taqdeer, bad taqdeer. Something bad written in our taqdeer, that also we have been taught how we can save ourselves. Allah has said, our deen is so complete, taqdeer is written by everyone. And bad things, if they are written in our taqdeer, which if a person doesn't have the proper understanding and ta'alluq with ulama, rabbani, these people who have ta'alluq with Allah, they will say, it was written in my taqdeer, accident will happen. I could commit this guna, but we have been shown the way to save ourselves from those evils. Just like a person who killed 99 people, and then the alim he met, which was the leader of ulama, alim ya haq. But he was not connected, he didn't know the mercy of Allah. So he told him, there's no forgiveness for you. You killed 99 people. But when he met an Ali who knew Allah's mercy, and he showed him his way of his salvation. So in the same way, if there is written in our life, an Ali who doesn't know the qudrat of Allah, the rahmat of Allah, if it's written in your taqdeer, it's going to come to you. You have to face the consequences, there's no two ways. But if as Alim Rabbani, he will teach you that dua in that way. And even the bad that is written in our taqdeer, how we can get saved from. Or Jahadul Bala. Jahadul Bala, such a difficulty, such a calamity that you desire, you scream, in fact you scream for that. Hazrat explains one person in the hospital in Karachi. bellowing like a cow with the pain that he did. So to save ourselves from such difficult conditions, such pain, such hardship, etc., that dua also we have been taught. What is the dua? حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ عنہ سے روایت ہے اور قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم تعوذ باللہ seek protection from اللہ تعالی من جہد البلاء from جہد بلاء ودرك الشقاء شقاء and it شقاء شقاء with ear of wretchedness and like hard-heartedness being a mean person a base person that you must be saved from there وَسُوءِ الْقَضَى and any bad that's written in our taqdeer to get saved from that وَشَمَاتَةِ الْأَعْدَى and from the enmity and the swearing and the evil of the enemy what they speak against you, how to get saved from that also. So this is a very great dua which we should also try and read daily. وَحَالِ الْعَابِ first as it explains about the narrator of the hadith حضرت ابو هريرہ رضي الله تعالى عنه. حضرت ابو ہریرہ رضی اللہ تعالی عنہ اس حدیث کے راوی ہیں حدیث حضرت ابو ہریرہ زمانے جاہلیت میں ان کا نام عبد شمس تھا his name was the son of the sun S-O-N of the sun S-U-N son of a sun مگر اسلام کے بعد ان کا نام عبداللہ یا عبدالرحمن تھا name was saying عبداللہ یا عبدالرحمن علامہ محی الدین ابو زکریہ نووی رحمہ اللہ نے 35 اقوال سے ثابت کیا کہ ان کا نام عبدالرحمن اس گریٹ آتھر عالم حضرت ابو زکریہ نووی رحمہ اللہ علیہ has proved from 35 proofs that his name was عبدالرحمن اپنی کنیت سے ایسے مشہور ہوئے کہ کمن لا اسم اللہ he came to be known so much by his nickname, pen name that is though he had known. Like there are many people in the community also all know them shortly. What is Shorty's name? Nobody knows. Babu Bhai, Haji Sir. And what is the person's name? Nobody knows. Only that. So there are certain people by their pet name or their nickname, they become so famous that nobody knows their actual name also. Same was with Abu Huraira. Jaise ki unka naam hi na tha, as though he had known it. 5,364 hadith ke hafiz the. He had memorized 5,364 hadith. And in his time when he was governor, when he was in Medina Sharif, the governor of Medina, Marwan, a doubt came in his mind that he's teaching 5,364 hadith. Great muhaddith, was a Sufi, a dervish, a humble person. That isn't he just like putting wool over the eyes of the people? So he invited him one day, and then he had his scribes, like today you have tape recorders, cameras you have. He had his scribes behind the curtain, and he told him to narrate some hadith. So he narrated a huge amount of hadith. After a long period, 6 months or so, he invited, and he had the scribes writing all, quite a few of them. And they compared their notes also to make sure they were straight. After a long period, he invited him again. And he said that those hadith that last time you narrated, can you narrate them again? So he said, should I narrate them in that same order? I narrated it the last time. That already gave him a shock. And then he said, yes, and he narrated exactly. And they found no mistake whatsoever. Such Imam Bukhari, all others also, Imam Bukhari by his friends, or in class, they used to taunt him that you don't make any notes. We all the time hating when the salat is carrying on. And the main thing there was to note hadith. They say you're wasting your time. And he was a young boy. Why did you go and do something else? You're wasting your time here. When they overdid it, he told them, they bring your notes. And he started reading off memory. And from his memory, they started correcting their mistakes in writing of the notes. So such a memory. And there were many other people whom Allah had blessed with such memory also. In Medina Munawwara, 800 tabi'in of Sahaba al-Kiram ko parhate the. He had his Darul Uloom and he was teaching 800 students. The majority were the tabi'in and there were some Sahaba al-Kiram, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, also who were his students.
حضرات صحابہ میں بڑے اکابر صحابہ بھی ان کے شاگرد تھے, گریٹ صحابہ آلسو ہز اسٹوڈنٹس, جیسے عبداللہ ابن عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ سن حضرت عمر, عبداللہ ابن عباس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کزن آف نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, حضرت جابر, حضرت انس رضی اللہ تعالیٰ, گریٹ گریٹ پیپل وہ اسٹوڈنٹ ہو. ابو ہریرہ نام کی وجہ یہ ہے کہ ہر وقت اپنے آستین میں دلی کا بچہ رکھتے تھے, always he kept a kitten in his sleeve all the time. Then Nabi sallallahu asked him, what is this? He said, a kitten. So he said, Abu Huraira, you are the father of the kitten. So his name, and this also we see that when there is this love and your lover gave you a name, finish, that name just flies in the world. Then everyone only knew him by Abu Huraira. It came once out of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth, the whole world till today, only Abu Huraira. Great, great ulama also just won't know his name, that is Abdul Rahman. So we all just named by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. And he was very fond of him. For this reason, Huzur Akbar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has his name Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala. That is the Akbar. Khaybar ki sahab iman lai. In the year when the battle of Khaybar took place, he brought iman. And har jihad mein Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke saath rahe. And then in every expedition he was with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aur ta'aneem ke liye har waqt safar wa hazar mein Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke saath rehte the. And to learn all the time he should stay with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kana raghiban fil ilm. He was very eager in acquiring knowledge. Raghiban bi shab'i batanihi. And he was content with whatever little he got to eat, that he wasn't worried at all. Whatever little he got, wherever he just ate it, but the worry was his knowledge all the time. وَكَانِ يَدُورُ مَعَوْ حَيْتُ دَارَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ صَلَّى. And wherever Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went, he was worth all the time. Deen ke ilm ke liye sirf peet ki roti par razi rehte the. Because of acquiring knowledge, little bit food he should get, he was satisfied. Har waqt sahbat-e Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mein حاضر باش تھے, always he was in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ترجمہ حدیث, حضور sallallahu alayhi wa sallam کے ارشاد فرمائے کہ لوگو, او پیپل, بنا نام کو سخت ابتلا سے, to seek refuge from Allah ta'ala from severe test. Man goes through test. Allah said that an ikram mean احسب الناس ان يتركوا ان يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. You will be there, but you seek protection from Allah. I'm not fit for a test. Oh Allah, don't test me. Without a test, and Allah in His brother can make you successful without a test. So that is Allah's law, but we are banda that we beg of Allah. So that we seek, and also, for example, you get a tough paper. One is the ustad, you ask him to make your exam paper light, ask you easy questions, and one is heavy, tough questions coming. Aur badbakhti ke pakar lene se, and becoming wretched, becoming base. Aur har wo qada jo tumhare liye mudir ho, and everything which is written in your taqdeer, which is harmful to you. Aur dushmanon ke taan aur tashneez hai, and all the evil things, the swearing, the accusations of your enemy, that Allah protect you from that also. Bas tariqa dua ye hoga, the method of making this dua, Allahumma, let us read it, inni a'udhu bika min jahdi al-bala wa dhahri al-shaqa wa su'i al-qadra wa shamatati al-a'da. Hazrat said, pray to us, a'udhu bika min jahdi al-bala, that is from severe tests. Otherwise Allah can test a person. You claim also, this is very, very important, especially those who are in suluk, who are salik, want to reach Allah. And when you feel you have got the love of Allah, the greater your love, the bigger your test. Allah will put you through severe tests also, in your health, in your finances, in your with your family, etc. To see whether you are genuine in the love of Allah. Or just when everything is smooth sailing, to jump on the bandwagon is very easy. To be like a weathercock. In the direction of the wind to blow is very easy. But if Allah has to test them. So the more a person thinks I've got the love of Allah, the more your test can become. So seek Allah's protection. That please, oh Allah, don't test me. okay, that now you lost one limb of yours. I will still so your gratitude and your love of Allah and all that. Now you lost a family member very dear. You lost somebody very dear and close to you. At that time you will still carry on. You are, Allah brought you in a difficult financial position. You haven't got food to eat, you haven't got rent to pay. At that time, now what is your condition? So seek Allah's protection, that He must not put us into such tests. You want to go to matric, but you still want a class 1 test. Eh? Allah Ta'ala can do it. Don't ask for those tests there, the heavy, heavy tests. Just please Allah, you just... So, first one is, min jahdil bala. Min jahdil bala, severe test that a person has to go through. Wa tarki shaqa, and that a person becomes wretched. Okay? And that also, some guna we make, or even sometimes some dua. One person made dua to Allah, Ya Allah, give me my 2 times roti food. Morning, evening, I get my food. I will make your ibadah all the time. And he forgot to say, your ta'afiyat, salamati, and izzah. Then it happened, the police caught him, put him in jail. Now he's getting his 2 days, 2 times food. So they're free all the time. And so you have to ask also, and ask also, and you learn how to ask also. Otherwise, one person was just asking for a horse all the time. Somebody pawned him and sold him a dead horse. Now what is the use of a horse? So ask for things like, there are so many people who pawn you with the car. And you just manage to drive the car out of the dealer's yard and finish. The engine falls one side, gearbox falls one side. So this we have to learn how to ask Allah for afiyat. Otherwise these problems come in your life. The person who tells you, I'm giving you a cheap deal. And then you realize, oh, my 50,000 gone, 100,000 gone for nothing. And those people, you can't even fight with them. You're going to the police also, court case, you're wasting more money and more time. And finally, you just have to close the whole time. So ask Allah, Allah must protect us. So one thing, أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ جَهْدِ الْبَلَىٰ, severe test, وَدَرْكِ الشَّقَىٰ, and then, wretchedness must not overtake you. Wretchedness, hard-heartedness, no feeling for anyone. So much so that your wife also, you've got no soft spot for your wife. For your children, no soft spot also. You're cursing your children, you're cursing your wife also. You're destroying yourself, your whole dunya, your akhirat, you are destroying. So seek protection from Allah Ta'ala, seriously, that Allah does not make the heart a wretched heart. Wasu'il qada, and a bad, bad shoe is bad, bad something in my taqdeer. What Hazrat explained, that whatever Allah has decreed is only good. Like for example, somebody has been, the decree has been made, he must get the death sentence. So for him it is bad, he's getting the death sentence. But if you look at it, generally it's good. He murdered somebody, he must get the death sentence, so other people are safe. So there is goodness in it on a general view. But for him, that he is going to die now, it is bad. So ask Allah Ta'ala protection from all. And many times we ask for something and we get involved in something else. We are not a crook, but now it happened, now we did something. Oh, and now you got caught in that situation. And then you have to suffer the repercussion of it. So therefore we have to be very careful how to ask also, and also ask Allah Ta'ala to save us from these things. So, and also from here this dua we learn, that which Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali explained, that taqdeer is not above Allah. That what's written in the taqdeer, Allah can't do anything about. No, dua, and it comes in the hadith, nothing can change taqdeer but dua. So you make dua, Allah accepts your dua, and Allah changes that in your taqdeer. So that is also very important. We don't know what Allah kept us safe. We are all, alhamdulillah, family also, all inshallah. What can happen the next hour? What can happen in a person can get a heart attack, put on a khasra, a motor car accident, and then everything. So we don't know what's written. So make dua to Allah, protect us. If there's anything bad written in my taqdeer which is coming, save me from it. And Allah can do it, and dua changes. Allah changes it by means of our dua. So we should make dua to Allah Ta'ala. وَشَمَاتَتِ الْعَادَىٰ, and the enemy. That is also a problem. When you have got an enemy who's just looking for your faults all the time and just wants to harm you all the time, Satan has protection for you. جہل بلا وہ بلا ہے جس میں آدمی اس کی انتہا شدت کی وجہ سے موت کی تمنا کرنے لگے. That severe pain, severe death that you rather wish I'd be dead is better. And the person doesn't die also. When he wants to live, he dies. And when he wants to die, he lives even more longer. And he has to say suffer the consequences. یعنی زندگی سے موت کو ترجیح ہے. شفا شین پر زبر ہے. سعادت کی ضد ہے جس کو بدبختی سے تعبیر کیا جاتا ہے. This terrible condition of wretchedness, of hard-heartedness, etc. that Allah protects us from that. Just a few things. With regard to the Philippines we went to, we were about just under 300 kilometers away from where the typhoon was. In the capital, Manila, and it was just about 5-6 days later, and still the kids were right there. And very aid workers, in fact, the chief of givers, they were just in front of us in the immigration. They also were there. A lot of people had come. And there are great lessons to learn. They explained to us that this island where this typhoon came, Philippines, is over 1,000 islands, made up of all islands. This island and these typhoons, all the tsunamis, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, fires that come, it's an earthquake. Actually, it's like a human being picks and chooses who it wants to come. It's not just like a wild thing that goes. It's from a lesser, and it picks and chooses. So there, in 1591, these were the first people, that's about 350 years ago, who had become Murtad. Who had given up Islam and became Christians. And that also, a person doesn't just give up his religion like that. First, your culture changes, your language changes, your clothes change, your lifestyle changes. You're still a Muslim. You're still wearing like the kuffar, like the Christians you dress. But you're still a Muslim. Then your beard goes, then this goes, then it comes to the end. Which comes in the hadith, look after the nafil, the mustahafa, they will protect your sunnahs. Look after your sunnati muakkada. Look after so your wajibs will be looked. But when everything starts going, then the attack comes on. So we should be very careful. We are going today, we are slipping. There is modern type of Islam, this easy way, that this is not necessary. How many good ulama, now they make Zohar and Asr together, make Isha and Maghrib together, make basa on the socks, etc. So all these things, then it goes finally to Allah, may Allah protect them. And look, it doesn't happen overnight. 300, all the stories we knew, Hadith Islam is famous. He preached for 950 years, left for 1,050 years. The other Anbiya also, it's not that they gave da'wah to the people and expect tomorrow as after, continues for how long they carried on. So this also after 350 years. Yet there were 99% all Christians. The condition when we had reached there at that time, there was no food on that island, no water, no electricity, no shelter, nothing whatsoever. People frustrated, want to get out, can't get out also. You just imagine how you are in that catch-22 situation. You are like in a hole of Jahannam and you want to get out of it, no way you can get out of it. And all the corpses lying around, and the stench and the smell of that coming all the time. What kind of a life? There in this one. Just before this typhoon, in a nearby island, there was an earthquake. And the seven churches were all destroyed. Masjids were 100% intact. And that became a means for many of them to accept Islam. When they saw that how Allah, and not only yet, many other places. Many other places, even the CNN, etc., they give photos also. Yeah, they didn't give photos. Where they show the masjid is standing properly. And how the churches are destroyed also. So, and a huge line that is cruisers we have. Those big ships that came from the sea right into the shopping center. And the cars which are there in the town shopping areas, they went all into the sea. Unbelievable. A person's mind cannot work what had happened there. So, all this a person should take lessons. That is the important thing. This can happen anywhere, anytime. And also, what is a very, very sad thing is mankind, generally non-Muslims, and today Muslims also, well, these things happen, natural phenomena, when natural calamities, and these things happen. It's not natural. It is our actions which bring these things. Jaise karmi, waise karmi. As you do, so you can. So, and also we should be very careful that what we are doing today, the repercussion will come to into our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, our dream. Now, our forefathers, they kept their masjids. They made small maktabs, masjids. They lived their reserved lives, traditional Islam. Today we are living on their laurels. And today we are going to another type of Islam. Easy type. We are setting a precedent for the suffering of our children and great-grandchildren. We might also, very easily people say, why must we suffer what our forefathers did? But your forefather left some inheritance for you, you don't say, why must I get that inheritance? There you grab and you grab as much as you can. But when it comes to the other side of the legacy, that also you have to do. So we should take a great lesson from this. Then also they explained there is one island where there is one brother, Jamaat brother. He went also in Jamaat, but he told Amir Sahib, please don't ever send me there again. What? Just see the condition and how much sugar we must get. That island, there is no way to go to it besides small boats. No aeroplanes, not a single road on the island. And when you reach there, you only walk, that's all. And snakes, plenty snakes. So thick as our fingers, snakes. And then scorpions the size of the palm, abundance, plenty of them. The crocodiles, and time to time they just swallow up into human beings. No running water, no electricity. For water, they dig in the ground a little bit, and a white substance comes, which smells also. But you have to drink that, that's your only water you have. Nothing else, the living method. Then there is this Christian group, Mormon. They are there for 50 years, they stay there. They also could not convert anyone from this. Those people are such, you are old people, you are Muslims, yes. You know Allah, yes. You know Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no, we don't know who is. The children, you are Muslims, yes. You know Allah, we don't know who is. You know Muhammad, we don't know. There is no namaz in there. Nothing. Only once in a year, they make milah with them. The whole night they make zikr. Besides, no Jummah, no Eid. No, nothing whatsoever. There are people like this who treat the world. How much is our duty also, and how much sugar must we be also? And we don't appreciate our ulama, our maktabs, our madrasas, what Allah has given us on the plate, and the Khalqa program, Jamaat, all this, how much we have to appreciate. So Allah let us understand and appreciate His favors upon us. Whatever we eat, make one dua with Allah. Whoever is hungry in the poor world, please let him also get a plate. Whoever needs clothes, give him also some clothes. Whoever needs shelter, there are so many people who want to get married, but because they don't have money, they can't get married. And they're falling into haram all the time. Oh Allah, make the arrangements for those people. How many girls, and just because and the customs have overtaken, without having so much money, can't get married. And customs have killed us also. So, how that we must appreciate and make dua also. Then we must not do this.